Blog Talk Radio.
Someday I'll have me a chauffeur and a block long limousine, EO11. EO11. Someday I'll have me a penthouse, stacks and stacks of Bowling Green, EO11. EO11. It's all a state of mind, whether or not you find that place down there or heaven. In the meantime, EO, EO, EO 11, EO 11, EO 11. A dream, and I'll show you a man that's dead, real dead. Once I had me a dream, but that dream got kicked in the head. Dream dead. I nearly had me that chauffeur and that block-long limousine, EO11, EO11. I nearly had me that penthouse, all them stacks of folding green, EO11, 11. Some judge is gonna say I'm putting you away for 84 years and 7. In the meantime, EO11, 11.
Yeah. James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. You can go there or you can go to the various websites, excuse me, the various links that we have sprinkled all over social media, primarily Facebook, Spreely, and various points throughout the World Wide Web of Intrigue and Danger. All right. A little bit of background for the clip I'm about to play. Some of you have probably heard it, but it's worth playing again because this is this is as monumental a display of stupidity and asinine behavior as I have ever seen. And I'm speaking as someone who has a pretty strong background in asinine behavior and stupidity. So take it from me, kids. I know what I'm talking about. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about the movie The Godfather. Classic motion picture, Francis Ford Coppola. The story essentially of a fictitious crime family, a syndicate in New York known as the Corleones. And Marlon Brando played the old man, Don Vito Corleone. And Don Vito had three sons, Santino, Sonny, played by James Caan, passionate, emotional, hot-headed guy, headstrong. Michael, very much like his father, patient, judicious, deliberate, seeing much, saying little. And Fredo. Fredo was somewhat less than his other two brothers. Fredo was an also-ran. Fredo was Ted Kennedy, to put things in perspective. So, giving you that, we're going to talk about Chris Cuomo for a minute. Chris Cuomo has a brother, Andrew Cuomo, who is governor of New York. And Andrew Cuomo is the sick, sadistic SOB that signed the abortion law into effect in New York, where you can abort the baby after it is born. You can deliver the baby, figure out what you want to do, and if that's the case, then you let it die. And Andrew Cuomo was all smiles when he signed this legislation into law. Their father, Andrew and Chris Cuomo, Fredo Cuomo, because that's who he's going to be from now on as far as I'm concerned. This episode I'm getting ready to play for you will forever, he'll forever be known as Fredo Cuomo. Their father, Mario Cuomo, governor of New York. So you see the similarities, you know, within this dynastic family. You have the old man made it to the governor's office, set things up so one of his sons could too. And what about poor Fredo? Fredo's got this little show over on CNN. Meh. You know, I mean, he's doing something, right? So that's where he's at. And apparently, this whole Fredo thing has been following him around for a while, and he's pretty thin-skinned about it. And I don't know when this video was taken. It surfaced over the weekend, and I got a hold of it this morning, I think, through Breitbart. But it's somewhere, some social gathering, I'm guessing, and somebody walks up to him and calls him Fredo. Now, this has got some really, really rough language. Okay, it's got the F dash 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 word, or a variant of the F dash 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 word, which we all know is the queen mother of all four letter words, according to Ralphie Parker from A Christmas Story, and I believe he's right. So if you got some kids around, throw in some earbuds, run them off, do something, because this is kind of rough. But I want you to hear it. And the reason I want you to, and ordinarily, as most of you guys know, I don't work very blue. I don't cuss a whole lot. Try not to anyway. So, you know, that's just kind of like one of my things. So ordinarily I would not do this, but it's just so egregious. It's just so over the top. It's just so boorish. It's just so classless. It's just so asinine. This is what passes for one of the leading lights, one of the cultural elites in leftist media. Buckle up.
You're going to have a fucking problem.
What? What are you going to do about it?
I'll fucking ruin your shit. I'll fucking throw you down these stairs like a fucking punk.
Say what?
I thought that's who you were.
No, punk-ass bitches from the right call me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN. Oh. Fredo is from The Godfather. He was that weak brother.
I know it was you, Fredo.
And they used it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italians? It's a fucking insult to your people. It's an insult to your fucking people. It's like the N-word for us.
Wow.
Is that a cool fucking thing?
You're a much more reasonable guy in person than you seem to be on television.
Yeah, but if you want to play, then we'll fucking play. If you got something you want to say about what I do on television, then say it. But I'm going to fall in the
Hey, man, hey, listen.
What?
I don't want any problems.
Yeah, you're going to have a big fucking problem.
What's the problem?
It's a little different on TV. Don't fucking insult me like that.
I didn't insult you.
The fuck you call me Fredo? It's like I call you punk bitch. You like that? You want that to be your nickname?
I didn't call you that.
You called me Fredo. You know my name's not fucking Fredo.
I thought your name was.
You did not think my name was fucking Fredo. Don't be a liar. You want to be a man, stand up like a man. You want to be a man out here, then fucking own it. Then own what you said. Then own what you said.
Listen, man, I have a problem with you, man.
You're going to have a fucking problem.
What? What are you going to do about it?
I'll fucking ruin your shit. I'll fucking throw you down these stairs like a fucking punk.
What do you do?
Why? So you can fucking sue?
You don't want to.
So you can fucking sue?
Well, why don't you do it?
Go take a swing. You want to call me Fredo? Take a fucking swing. Take a fucking swing.
Watch your fucking hands. Watch your fucking hands.
Take a swing. Come on, boy. You want to call me shit? Call me shit.
Hey, listen,
I'm right fucking here.
Anything.
I'll fucking wreck your shit. I'll fucking wreck your shit.
Stop.
You didn't ask me, Greg. You didn't know what you were doing with me.
I thought it was your name. I thought it was your name.
You didn't know, right?
Hey, you didn't know what you were saying, right? I thought it was your name.
You took your name.
I'm breaking it up. I'm breaking it up.
Here's a little intrigue. I wanted to be like Wonder Woman, and I'm going to wear a shirt that says it.
You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
What's with the air kisses? So many more questions.
Oh, God. Now, if you wanted to permanently, indelibly immortalize yourself forevermore as Fredo Cuomo, could you make a better effort than that? No, no, of course not. You couldn't. But wait. So this happens. And CNN, CNN has, they've said, well, you know what? Chris is our boy. And, you know, his brother's governor, his old man was governor too. And so, you know, you can kind of see our position. So they decide that, okay, we're gonna back Chris up, and here's what we're gonna say. This is what we're gonna tell everybody, okay? Matt, I want you to tweet this, Matt Dornick, whoever he is. Chris Cuomo defended himself when he was, are you ready? When he was verbally attacked with the use of an ethnic slur in an orchestrated setup. We completely support him. Fredo, which basically for Hepcats ever since the time of The Godfather in 1972, Fredo has been in the vernacular for week. Second best, not good enough. For a long time. It's universal. It is not an ethnic slur. Dago, WAP, Tally, Greaser, those are ethnic slurs. And shameful ones at that. Fredo? No. Cuomo knows exactly what that guy meant when he said Fredo, and that's why he got so ticked off at him, because it's true. So they say, so now, because of this, and because of that declaration in the heat of the moment by Fredo Cuomo, that Fredo, calling an Italian guy Fredo, was as bad as calling a black guy the M-word, there are several CNN segments where contributors, hosts, regulars on CNN, and guests used this same nickname, Fredo, and no evidence CNN found their commentary offensive. Anna Navarro has used it. I'm running down through the list here. Rick Wilson has used it, calling Devin Nunes the Fredo of the Republican Party. And obviously, when pressed on this, CNN hasn't responded. You know, they haven't returned any phone calls for comment on this. So they've got guys on their own network using the F word, and I don't mean the F word. Okay. Sounds like Fredo as an ethnic slur. So, you know, we totally understand old Chris getting all jacked up over this and getting puffed up over everything because, you know, they were being these racists, these Trump loving racists were being mean to him. So obviously he's going to say what he's going to say. We're team Fredo all the way. Now let's go back in time. to about 10 years ago, and it was a radio talk show with Curtis Sliwa. Now, you probably don't know that name, but Curtis Sliwa back in the 70s, New York, under democratically controlled government, under a Democrat mayor, was a cesspool of crime and ickiness and evildoers all over the place. And your normal, if there is such a thing, New Yorker was not safe because of the muggers, the rapists, the junkies, and the criminal element. And so this guy, Curtis Sliwa, founded the Guardian Angels, and they rode the subways, and they weren't armed, but they, you know, they knew how to fight, and they were trained in martial arts, and they kind of started taking back the city. And he had a talk show where Fredo was a guest. I want you to listen. This is 10 years ago, so I want you to listen to this.
La Cuomo Nostra. That there is a group of people, of politicos, who always hint that they might run but don't necessarily plunge all the way, and they are members of La Cuomo Nostra.
So who am I then, Fredo?
Yes, exactly. So you better be careful.
There you go.
That your brother
Fredo
Andrew doesn't kiss you on both cheeks, and then all of a sudden they take you out into the middle of the lake, and then where's Chris?
He kisses.
Where's Chris? Oh, we don't know. We think he may be had a heart attack. We haven't seen him. Getting a little worried. So, you know, this melon-headed stooge calls himself Fredo, and it's all cool. His pals at CNN, his fellow traveling stooges, can bandy it back and forth all day long, and we are good to go. Somebody turns around and goes, hey, look, it's Fredo Cuomo. What? What? You FFF and F and all F you and you're FNF and F and you. F you F and Fers. And hey, man, take this honest mistake. Well, probably wasn't an honest mistake, but it's pretty cool. Look at how easy this cat got set off. I mean, he so to keep things interesting, in a few down moments that he had during his day, the president jumped in on the pile. And he says, you know, I thought Chris was Fredo also. The truth hurts. He totally lost it. Low ratings, CNN. And then he goes on. He tweets again. Would Chris Cuomo be given a red flag for his recent rant? Filthy language and a total loss of control. He shouldn't be allowed to have any weapon. He's nuts. Oh, Donnie. I love you, fella. Oh, you're killing me. You're straight up killing me. And did you see how quick all of a sudden nobody's talking about Jeffrey Epstein? Boom, just like that. But we're going to go back to Jeffrey Epstein. We're going to go back to Jeffrey Epstein. Now, the stories that I pulled on this came from Breitbart, and the reason we're not talking about Jeffrey Epstein at this point, and we're going to go back, and we're going to talk a little bit about Jeffrey Epstein. But while we're in the silly season, and we're talking about this foolishness with this idiot Fredo Cuomo, Sarah Silverman in the news too. You know, she's a longtime left-wing fruit bat like Jeanine Garofalo and all that generation that came in the late 90s and early 2000s. You know, just so avant-garde, bored with it all, hip, cool, ironic dillweeds. And Sarah Silverman was no different. She was a product of 90s comedy where the goal you know, it was like shock comedy. And what it was designed and set up through their routines to kind of demolish whatever remaining social taboos or mores existed. And those taboos came down, and the lefties rushed in to erect new ones based around political correctness. Now, I don't personally think Sarah Silverman was all that funny. She was shocking, like that, who was that other chick that just vanished? She made fun of Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and then she just vanished. She was at the first correspondence dinner. Michelle Wolf, maybe? Michelle Wolf. She had a Netflix show for about 45, 50 seconds, and then it was over. All this stuff they've done, all this political correctness, all this wokeness that they've been going around beating people over the head with is now turned back upon themselves. They're eating their own, in other words. She was on some podcast because she doesn't do real radio anymore because she's no longer relevant. Recently fired, basically what it comes down to, Sarah Silverman recently revealed that she was fired from an upcoming movie over an old photo of what? Of her in blackface. The photo, which was snapped on the set of the Sarah Silverman show in 2007, recently resurfaced and caught the eye of one of the film's producers. On the podcast, the comedian, age 48, also blasted cancel culture and said that it's left her feeling scared because no one's given a second chance. I think it's really scary. How many second chances did you give people when you guys were humiliating them and excoriating them and castigating them in your routines when it was so hip and cool to be laughed at for saying mean things about people? I think it's really scary, and it's a very odd thing that it's invaded the left primarily and the right will mimic it, adding that she calls it righteousness porn. It's like, if you're not on board, if you say the wrong thing, if you had a tweet once, everyone's like throwing the first stone. Yes. And you threw many first stones, sweetheart. It's so odd. It's a perversion. It's really, look how righteous I am. And now I'm going to press refresh all day to see how many likes I get in my righteousness. God, man, do you projection much, Sarah? It's probably the first time she's made any type of political observation that had any amount of fundamental astuteness to it, and there it is. And she realizes it only when it is to her detriment, when it bites her on the behind. Isn't that the left? If you're not on board, look at the presidential candidates. Oh, that, yeah, let me pull that up. Dennis Prager today. I hope I've got that. Prager 2020. Dennis Prager today on his show, and he has a terrific program. A remarkably smart guy. If you don't have anything to do, you got a little time to kill during the day. Usually it's from 12 to 3 in a lot of markets, or 3 to 6. Check him out. He has a pretty decent commentary today on the there he is, on the 2020 Democrat presidential hopefuls. And this is kind of philosophical, but you guys will enjoy it. This is from earlier today. Dennis Prager, Man on Fire.
Almost every leftist is a mean human being. There are a lot of decent liberals. There are some mean conservatives, but every leftist is mean. There's a meanness at the core. I look at these people standing up, these demagogues at these Democratic debates. They stink as people. They don't just stink as Democrats. They stink as human beings. They lie with the ease with which you breathe. Cory Booker is a fraud. Elizabeth Warren is a fool, is a liar. Hey, I'm an Indian. She still stands by it. These are not good people. I wish I didn't believe that. I wish they were just good people I differed with. There are good people I differ with. Brett Stephens is a giant, and he hates Trump. These are not decent people. They're demagogues. Beto O'Rourke? It's hard to get lower than Beto O'Rourke. He's slime. He is slime. When he speaks, I wish to throw up. These are not good people. Buttigieg is a fraud. It's a total fraud. Oh, look, I was in the military. I am clean cut. But I want to abolish the Electoral College. I, Buttigieg, at 35, know better how America should be run than the founders of the country. Because I'm an arrogant SOB, that's why. They're all arrogant.
Oh, man.
What did the founders know? Electoral college. Oh, we don't want that. We want direct vote for president. Oh, you know better, you fraud?
Take it easy, Dennis.
Our answer to how to make a better society is get married and make a good family and join a church and treat your neighbors well. That's our answer.
And kind of hard to argue with. But, you know, and he's exactly right. And I'm loath to say it because it isn't. And yet at the same time, it can easily be construed as the politics of personal destruction. But he's right. With the politics of personal destruction, you're taking a fundamentally good person and you're ripping them apart for your narrative, for your agenda, for your ideology, for kicks. Politics on even a municipal level is sometimes a blood sport, and mean people get involved in it, and he's absolutely right. Ah, not dead air, just getting a drink. Well, we are down to the bottom of the hour, so I guess we're going to take a little musical break and we're going to come back. And yes, we are going to talk a little bit about Jeffrey Epstein and some of the things that have gone on. It's a huge story. Not much going on in terms of any truth behind anything that's going on there, any new facts that have come out, and everything that does come out. It's not good. It's not good at all. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that, trying to find something here for us to listen to, and we will be back with more of Conservatives Perspective right after this.
Of Houston, Texas, we don't only sing, but we dance just as good as we want. In Houston, we've just started a new dance called the Tighten Up. This is the music we tighten up with. First, tighten up on the drum. Come on now, drummer. I want you to tighten it up for me now. Oh, yeah. Tighten up on that bass now. Tighten it up. Yeah, now let that guitar fall in. Oh, yeah. Tighten up on the organ now. watch out, babe.
Kick, kick.
Oh, yeah.
Come on,
Ted,
come on.
Now, look here. I want that guitar to fall in on now. Tighten it up now. Oh, yeah. Now, tighten it up, boss. Yeah, now, everybody tighten it up now. Now, look here. We're going to make it mellow for you now. We're going to make it mellow now. You can get it. Move to your left, move to your right. Tighten it up now. Everything will be out of sight. Come on and tighten it up. Tighten it up now. You can do it. So baby, get to it.
Welcome back. Dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Absolutely, welcome back. Special love line dedication to me, because I've been at it since last week. But tomorrow, as most of you guys know, my daytime gig is working in the school system, and I work in the high school that I graduated from, just like Gabe Cotter. So that's always been my thing. And tomorrow is the big day. Tomorrow, we've done all the preparation. I've been through every conceivable behind numbing conference, lecture, in service, faculty, senate, blah, 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 yakety, schmackety fest conceivable. But tomorrow, the meat hits the metal, because tomorrow is the first day for the children. They come back tomorrow. So I'm excited about that. Terrific summer. Short-lived, and they seem to be getting shorter as I get older. But a pretty good summer. Still lots of summer left, lots of great times to be had out there in the beautiful weather that we got. But tomorrow's the first day of school for my guys, and I'm excited about that. Just thought I'd toss that out there to burn up a couple of minutes. Okay. Well, what happened to Jeffrey Epstein? New York City's Civic Center is a maze of courts and prisons and offices that begins where Chinatown ends. Past relics like a 17th century Jewish cemetery, a 1819 Siemens church. Park Row is barricaded and blocked off by the brutalist infrastructure of one police plaza. Surrounding it are massive federal courthouses in front of whose facades the various important malefactors you see on the evening news are photographed. And the placement of these buildings in what used to be the Five Points, New York City's worst and most violent criminal slum, run by gangs who made their own laws, where police never ventured, is not an accident, nor is it an accident that these buildings blocked off the slum area from nearby Wall Street. The massive gray and brown towers of the Civic Center make a statement about the might of the law. The Metropolitan Correctional Facility, the Metropolitan Correctional Center is the most obscure of the Civic Center buildings, except to the inmates and their families. Its mass huddling in a blockaded zone, even as it has housed countless infamous inmates, from John Gotti to Bernie Madoff, from the Blind Sheik to El Chapo. New York's Alcatraz skyscraper has hosted some of the most dangerous and infamous criminals in the world, and its security is as painfully tight as its slitted windows. MCC inmates are bound for one of the federal courts in Civic Center. Some of them will testify, many only reluctantly, and some of them will be the targets of international gangs, terror groups, and crime families who don't want them testifying. Somebody didn't want the inmate in a cell on one of the top floors of the MCC testifying, even though the job of MCC personnel isn't just to lock them up, but to keep them from dying. Before Jeffrey Epstein, mafia kingpins, drug lords, and terrorists had come and gone. A helicopter operation to rescue one of the inmates was tried and failed. And then Epstein had somehow managed to impossibly hang himself in his cell. Epstein was in MCC's special housing unit. A former warden described the security in the special housing unit as second only to those of supermax prisons. Inmates eat and shower in their cells. Their hands are cuffed behind their backs whenever they step outside. No objects that can be used to harm anyone fall into their hands. They're not allowed to make physical contact with even their own lawyers. According to a former MCC inmate, suicide watch inmates are supposed to wear straitjackets. The sheets are paper thin. The ceiling is 9 feet high, and there's nothing to attach a rope to. Jeffrey Epstein has a long history of being able to do what he wasn't allowed to do in prison. Instead of going to prison after his original conviction, he spent time in the Palm Beach stockade, checking himself out to go to his office, where he hired Palm Beach sheriff's deputies to act as his security, referring to him as client and keeping watch as women and girls went into his office. I am authorizing that his cell door be left unlocked, a county supervisor had written back in Florida. In MCC, someone had authorized that Epstein be left alone in his cell while he died. MCC was supposed to be different. After suborning the justice systems of Florida, New Mexico, and New York, not to mention the federal system, he was finally going to get what was coming to him. And he did. Just not by the way of the justice system. If you believe the official story, the night Jeffrey managed to hang his body in a cell designed to prevent any of the prisoners from doing that, his fellow inmate was removed, in CNN's words, for reasons unknown. And the guards weren't monitoring him every 30 minutes as they were supposed to. For reasons unknown. Despite allegedly trying to commit suicide a couple weeks ago, he was taken off suicide watch again, where he would have been monitored in a special cell every 15 minutes for reasons unknown. Reasons unknown ought to be Epstein's epitaph. He wasn't prosecuted by Florida or the feds for raping numerous girls for reasons unknown. The signatures that have allowed him to leave prison whenever he wanted to are wrong for reasons unknown. Three states failed to register him as a level 3 sex offender for reasons unknown. And now, security in New York's Alcatraz skyscraper has failed for reasons unknown. Except we do know the reasons. Jeffrey Epstein enjoyed a vast amount of influence and discretion because of his connections. Wealthy men and women have gone to prison and even passed through MCC before. Epstein's money and influence both came from sources that have yet to be sufficiently nailed down and now never will be. Isn't that convenient? But don't worry, there will be investigations in Palm Beach. Sheriff Rick Bradshaw has promised to investigate how Epstein was able to use his stockade as a hotel and his deputies as private security, even though the logs have long since been destroyed. There are investigations in New York City, and you can bet they'll be every bit as thorough and every bit as useless, and they will all include some variation of for reasons unknown. Epstein's death was perfectly timed. His death ends the trial and buries all the remaining grand jury evidence in a file cabinet somewhere in Civic Center, and good luck ever getting to that cabinet. Various authorities have promised to dig into the circumstances of his death and his crimes, but with Epstein gone, there will be no legal limits on them and no way to know where the truth lies. They can and will be able to present whatever claims and documents they like to the public. The lawyers for the victims will work to recover funds from the estate, but the truth has passed beyond recovery. The truth died on the top of a prison skyscraper whose administration and guards flagrantly violated their own rules, removing Epstein from suicide watch 6 days after a supposed suicide attempt, leaving him alone in his cell and failing to check on him until it was too late. Blame will be passed around. Conspiracy theorists will cash in on it for years, and the questions will remain unanswered. Who could possibly penetrate Manhattan's most secure detention facility. Who had the political influence to manipulate events within MCC's walls? Who could do what Chapo's Confederates could not? These questions join others, such as who in the Department of Justice had allegedly told Alexander Acosta that Epstein was protected by intelligence figures and who had corrupted the justice systems of three states. The answers are gone. The damage to our political system will linger. What little we can know about Epstein's political connections extended far beyond Palm Beach. At the height of his power, Epstein enjoyed the patronage of figures in the federal government, and now, when he had been brought down in an attack on a federal official, he died in federal custody. Epstein had become collateral damage in an attempt to inflict glancing harm on President Trump. The campaign failed to accomplish much of anything, but it got Epstein on track to an actual trial, a trial that will never happen now. Someone at the federal level had protected Epstein. Someone at the federal level may have decided that he was better off dead. It would have taken a political network with access to career officials in the Justice Department to have protected and killed Epstein. We only know of one political network within the federal government linked to a political family closely tied to Jeffrey Epstein. Their name begins with a C, but that's speculation. The Clinton network has faded since its two main figures lost any hope of running the government, and there are other networks whose key figures aren't as famous or easy to name and define. The swamp is deep and dark, and there are creatures lurking within it whom very few know. Perhaps Jeffrey Epstein did die by his own hand, and a chain of coincidences enabled it to happen. Anyone can come up with conspiracy theories, but there's no escaping the fact that Epstein's career was one long conspiracy of mysterious money, a private island, the subversion of justice systems in three states and the federal system, followed by a death that should have been impossible. A corrupt system enabled Jeffrey Epstein to abuse numerous girls. And now a corrupt system somewhere in the shadowy maze of Civic Center has drawn a final curtain over his death. If you stand in an alley looking up at the dingy walls of the MCC, you can peer through the tiny black slits of its windows looking for answers. And the only thing behind the MCC's windows is darkness. What's that old saying? Dead men tell no tales. We've got a clip from Paul Joseph Watson. He's got some good thoughts on that.
Dead men tell no tales. Sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, despite the fact that he should have been on 24/7 suicide watch, was found dead in his jail cell of an apparent suicide. Wow, who could have possibly seen this coming? It's not like I wrote about this very thing happening again, again, and again. But I'm just a conspiracy theorist, so don't listen to me. It's not like under suicide watch, all objects that a prisoner could use to hang themselves are supposed to be removed to prevent this very thing from happening. It's not like Epstein was being filmed by CCTV under bright lights to prevent this very thing from happening. There are cameras everywhere in MCC where Epstein was locked up. It shouldn't be hard to figure out how this happened. Oh, but wait! Alleged camera malfunction last night at MCC where Jeffrey Epstein was locked up. Wow, what a coincidence.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.
It's not as if, according to the Metropolitan Correctional Center's own rules, guards are supposed to keep the prisoner under, quote, direct continuous observation to prevent this very thing from happening. Who was guarding him? Jack Ruby? It's not like Epstein should have been under increased scrutiny given that he already tried to commit suicide just 3 weeks ago. Suicide Watch. Suicide Watch is an intensive monitoring process used to ensure that anyone, except Jeffrey Epstein, cannot attempt suicide. I was stunned by Epstein's suicide, though probably not as much as Epstein himself. But wait. Now we learn, according to NBC, that Epstein wasn't on Suicide Watch, despite supposedly 3 weeks ago trying to commit suicide.
Move along! There's nothing to see here!
Jeffrey Epstein's suicide ends the criminal case against him because no one else was charged in the indictment. Oh, how very fucking convenient. So all those, quote, powerful men, named as being complicit in Epstein's crimes, now go completely free. Yesterday, thousands of pages were unsealed from Jeffrey Epstein's past cases. Many wealthy and powerful figures were named as alleged clients of his child sex trafficking ring. The next day, Jeffrey Epstein is found dead.
Move along! There's nothing to see here!
The influential elitist Epstein was set to name in return for a reduced sentence are all now safe from prosecution. It's almost like there's some kind of glaringly obvious giant motive shared by those powerful men to have Epstein silenced forever. But I wouldn't dare suggest that to be case, given that conspiracy theories are now on a par with terrorism. I wouldn't dare suggest that this goes way higher than Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew. I wouldn't dare suggest that this suicide was a warning to other witnesses to keep their mouths shut. I wouldn't dare suggest that Eyes Wide Shut was a documentary.
Move along! There's nothing to see here!
How's the media gonna spin this? Well, just like literally everything else, they're gonna blame Trump. Despite Trump being one of the few high-profile persons who actually distanced himself from Epstein when the charges were first revealed, despite Trump kicking Epstein out of his Mar-a-Lago club after he caught Epstein hitting on a young girl, despite Epstein's accusers saying Trump didn't have sex with or even flirt with them, and despite opposition research firm Fusion GPS attempting to discover a close connection between Epstein and Trump, but failing. And yes, they're already blaming Russian agents for killing Epstein. Really? I don't recall there being many Russian agents who appeared on the Lolita Express flight log 26 times. Also, maybe you're not the most credible person to be talking about the surprise discovery of dead bodies. But don't worry, because the FBI is investigating. You can be confident in trusting the agency of Peter Strzok and Lisa Page to uncover the truth.
Move along! There's nothing to see here!
Yeah, the whole thing went very Russian very quickly. Scarborough said, you know, this is the Russians did it. That other mental giant of the left, Alec Baldwin, said that the Russians did this. The Russians are in charge. Explain to me how does the president, who is a Russian stooge, a spy for Vladimir Putin and the KGB, at the same time, how can he be a Nazi? When the shootings took place last week, he was a Nazi, white supremacist, giving subliminal messages to his neo-Nazi hordes out there holding copies of Mein Kampf and cleaning their guns and, you know, waiting on the word to take over the country in the name of Das Führer. We even had that idiot Frank Figliucci. God, I don't know what it is. Frankie the Fig. Former FBI counterintelligence cat. Assistant director of the FBI for counterintelligence. When the president ordered the flags to go back up at, you know, a full mast on 8-8, August the 8th, the eighth letter of the alphabet being H, so 8-8-H-H, Heil Hitler. We're sending the flag back up at Untersturmfuhrer Trump's orders to do a little Sieg Heil in there on August the 8th, and people believe this crap. So last week he was a Nazi, sending subliminal messages to his Nazi hordes. And this week he's back to being a Russian stooge. Well, he's also been accused, in addition to being a Nazi stooge, a Russian stooge, a Nazi spy. He's also been accused of being a racist, obviously, and we all are. Every non-liberal leftist, those sirens are not for me. So nearly every Democrat running for every non-liberal leftist, that is. So nearly every Democrat running for president, every New York Times and Washington Post columnist, every CNN and MSNBC host, and your left-wing brother-in-law label you and I, if you happen to be a Trump supporter, and of course the president is racist. And they don't stop there. They don't only label half the country that supports the president racist. They label all whites and America itself racist. Now, every conservative and many liberals know this is a big lie. And the great question is, do leftists believe it or do they just say it? It's really impossible to know. But this we do know. If you repeat something often enough and if your worldview and that which gives your life meaning are dependent upon believing something, you'll believe it. So here's a way to show that that trope is a lie, that Donald Trump is a racist, that we are all racist, that all white people are racist, that America is racist. And you can find this out from any conservative, any white conservative. You ask them the three questions as follows. Number one, do you have more in common with, and are you personally more comfortable in the company of, a white leftist or a black conservative? No brainer. Number two, would you rather have 9 white leftists or 9 black conservatives on the Supreme Court? Again. Number three, would you rather your child married a black Christian conservative or a white non-Christian liberal? Now, a white racist would prefer the whites in every single one of those cases. This question has been asked by Dennis Prager, who lit him up in the rant earlier, of thousands of Trump supporters at his lectures, at his radio shows. Not once has a white Trump-supporting conservative say that they would be more comfortable in the presence of a white leftist than a black conservative, or that they would prefer an all-white liberal Supreme Court to an all-black conservative Supreme Court. Not once. If you're an honest leftist, this should present a powerful challenge to your belief, if you really believe it, that all white conservatives are racist. Ask that question to conservatives that you know. See what they say. That's all the time we got, guys. We're down to the bottom of it. ACP heard here twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We also have a – thank you, Penelope. We also have a version that goes out over the Mojo 5-0 Radio Network, mojo50radio.com, Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern time. You can go there. It is a one-stop shop, very simply, for the most outstanding libertarian and conservative talk radio on the Internet. That's all the time we got. God bless you. God bless America. We will be back here on Thursday taking a look at things, as we do, through a conservative's perspective. Till then, you guys take good care of yourselves, and we'll see you.